Yeah, amen. You may be seated, and let's pray together. So, Father, we're grateful for the blood that was shed on our behalf, the blood of Jesus, that washes, that cleanses, that made a way. Perfect sacrifice. I want to thank you, Lord, for just this great opportunity to open your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that as we open it, that, Lord, it come to life to us. That, Father, as we read the scripture on pages and maybe even on the screen, that, God, that you would just allow it to wash us this morning, that you would allow it to have its way with us, that we would be not only hearers of the word, but effectual doers by the power and by the unction of the Spirit of God today. That we would come to this word saying yes before we even know what this word might say to us today. That, Father, that we would live in this culture of yes to you, to glorify your name, to magnify it, to lift it up. Lord, to live this life out that you've called us to live according to kingdom principles. And I ask you'd be honored in it, glorified. And again, Lord, as we prayed earlier, that just everything that might be said and everything that might be read would just simply point to you. Not to us, O Lord, but to you, our great God. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We are in this series called When You Pray, Say. Or we've been talking about Teach Us to Pray. And we're moving through this Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11. We are also going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew next week, because Matthew has a phrase that Luke doesn't, and that is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we're going to be looking at that next Easter Sunday, about how Jesus came to do the will of God. And we're talking about that next week for Easter. But we are in our fourth study, our fourth message on this series, and I want to read to you the prayer. Chapter 11, verse 1, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And we've been talking about this prayer as a model prayer. It's a skeleton, so to speak. It's not something to just be recite. It is something to build upon. So each of these phrases is something to pray, but also to pray about. And so we've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks, about when we pray, these are some of the things that the living God, incarnate Christ Jesus, comes and says, "Listen, you want to know how to pray? These are things that you need to be praying about. These are the things that you need to be saying. These are the things that you need to be approaching." When we look at this prayer, we see a couple of things. We see, first of all, the adoration and the worship of God. When we say, we address him as our Father, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." We see a second part. We see God's worship. We see man's need. We see our worship to God. We see our need and how God provides for it. So he says to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one." So there's this twofold part of this prayer is that we're coming to prayer to pray, and we're coming to adore him first and foremost. Matter of fact, so important is this that sometimes we may finish the prayer and not even deal with our need, not even deal with our wants, not even deal with what's going on in our lives, simply because we've been so raptured in the presence of our Almighty God. That's the kind of praying that God wants us to do, to be about, to approach him as holy God and to know that he is approachable and that God is speaking to us and that we are speaking back to him. It is the essence of relationship. It's the essence of relationship. God created you for relationship with him, to walk with him, to fellowship with Him, to love Him, and for Him to love you, to walk in this life with growth, growing in Him, walking this life of putting to death deeds of the flesh and seeing the fruit of the Spirit come full bloom in our lives, full ripe in our lives. And the only way that growth can happen is through relationship. And the only way that relationship with God happens is that we're speaking and we're hearing. We've got that word open and God is speaking to us and we are speaking back. It's the two pillars of our faith. It's the two pillars of how we grow in this life. We come off of a series on the whispers of God or hearing God, and we move into this series of this model praying and this whole thought that my relationship is based upon communication. My whole relationship based with you as a church is based on communication. If we don't communicate, we're not going to grow together. If you're not communicating with someone in the body and you're not walking life out, you're not going to grow. If I'm not communicating with my wife, if Johnny Ann is not communicating with me, what kind of life, what kind of relationship is that? And so when we come to this prayer, we understand that it's all about relationship and communication to Him in this relationship. Where He speaks, we speak back. We speak to Him, He speaks to us. And I want to say this, this prayer has relationship all over it. It has relationship all over it. When we say our Father, what are we saying? Well, we said a couple of weeks ago, I'm saying, you are my Father, you are our Father, and we are your children. We are your children. And this, according to Scripture, when you look at Scripture, this is how children are supposed to live, the children of God. And so we make these statements of our lives, and this maybe even in this prayer, that says, God, you are my Father, you are our Father, you are in heaven. Your name, you are in heaven, and I'm your child. And I'm going to live after you. I'm going to follow you as a beloved child, as a trusting child. I want you to just kind of in review, because we didn't get to look at this verse a couple of weeks ago. You can let go of Luke, because we're just going to be looking at your kingdom come today. But Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We mentioned this a couple of weeks, but didn't get to read it. And so when I'm approaching God in prayer, my first thought is He's my Father. I'm His child. That's what this relationship's about. Our Father, I'm your child, this is how I live. So notice verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, because if you're living according to the flesh, you are about to die. Now, but if you're living by the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? What is the characteristic? What is the fruit that comes forth from the children of God? They walk by the Spirit. And if we walk by the Spirit, what are we going to be doing according to this passage? We're going to be putting to death deeds of the flesh. We're not going to live after the flesh. We're not going to live after anger. We're not going to live after lust. We're not going to live after bitterness or unforgiveness. We're going to live by the Spirit's life, by the Spirit's rule. Why? Because that's what sons of God do. That's what daughters of God do. That's how they live. They're led by the Spirit of God. That's why we talked really in depth about who the children of God and who are the sons of the devil. We talked about the warning passages and the assurance passages of Scripture. We are children of God, and this is what we look like. Now notice what he goes on to say. He says, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we are crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, Dada, Father, that intimate relationship that we have with God. That's what's coming out of our lives. Abba, Father. Daddy, lift me up, right? Mama, lift me up. Hold me, Daddy. Hold me, Abba. It's this relationship that is deep, this relationship that is tender. It's this dead relationship that every one of us, come on, just be honest with us, would love to have that relationship with our earthly dad, and we would really want to have it with our heavenly dad. Is that not right? Ask your sons and daughters what kind of relationship they want to have with you as a father and as a mother. And I'm going to tell you, it's tender. It's a loving. It's a touching. It's a blessing. It's a speaking over. That's the kind of relationship we long for. And that's what we're saying when we say, our Father. We're saying, God, you're my Father, you're my Abba Father, I'm your child. I've got this relationship with you, and it's a great relationship. It's an approachable relationship. It's a touching, it's a tender, it's an emotional relationship. That's wonderful in God through Christ. And guess what? There's no more slavery, and there's no more fear of slavery. Why? Because we're being led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's not going to lead us into slavery again. He is going to lead us into the freedom of God. That's what the Spirit does when He's walking in agreement with the Father. And He always walks in agreement with the Father. Amen. That's what you can be sure of. No more fear. No more slavery. This relationship with God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I think about when I get into prayer, I got a lot to thank God for as my Father. And I could spend 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Now, you don't have to take 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about a legalistic thing. But listen, your next time you pray, get caught up in the fact that He is your Heavenly Father. And you are His child. And what that means for you and what that means for the body, what it means for Cottonwood. Our Father who art in heaven. First phrase. Second phrase we saw last week. Hallowed be your name. And that's just simply saying, listen, when I hallow the name of Christ, I say holy. And we talked about this name, the name of God, or in Hebrew culture, the name often represented who that person was, the characteristics and all. And God reveals Himself through His name. I am that I am. I am that I am. And then we talked about Jehovah. Jireh, I am your provider, or I am your peace, or I am your holy righteousness, I am your sanctifier. And what I'm saying is you are God, you are my God, our God, and guess what, Lord? We are worshipers of you, and this is how we'll worship you. We will imitate our God, we will reflect our God in all that He's revealed to us. Name, very, very important. A name is very, very important. When someone speaks your name, what do you think they think of? They just don't think about what you wear or what you wore last week. They think about who you are. They think about who you are. You know, we talked a lot about that last week when we talked about how folks were named how they were named in Old Testament time. There was a guy by the name of Nabal, and Nabal means foolish one. As a matter of fact, when David was on the run, David had his folks administered to Nabal's shepherds and their flocks, and David needed some help, and he called for Nabal and said, "Nabal, who am I going to? I'm not going to come help this guy. He's just some guy raised up. He's the popular guy now. And if I got to do this, I've got to do this every time somebody comes up who's popular and who might be king. What does that do for me? I'm not going to do that." Well, man, that just fired him off. David, man, they were coming to Nabal. But Abigail came, his wife, and says, "Hey, don't do anything to him. As his name is, so is he." Wow. Fool, fool. As his name is, so is he. Hey, we had a family once. Remember that, Scott? Yeah, the oldest son was Rowdy. Second son was Duel. And the daughter was named Dancy. And Rowdy was Rowdy. And Duel liked to fight, and Dancy liked to dance. Name means something. It means something. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we come to the third phrase, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule of God. Matter of fact, when we say thy kingdom come, we not only are saying, God, you're our Father. Matter of fact, we are saying that, and we're coming as children to say, not only are you our Father, but you're our God, but you are our King. You are our Lord. That's what we're saying. And we want your kingdom to come right now. We want your kingdom to be manifested right now. Now, the word kingdom in both Old Testament and New Testament doesn't necessarily have to do with territory as a physical sense as much as it has to do with the rule of God, the authority of God, the sovereign will or the sovereign work of God. It's God ruling and reigning on earth, ruling and reigning in the hearts of his people. And so when we talk about the word kingdom, which is, I mean, it's just laced through the Gospels and it's laced through the New Testament. We are saying, God, you are king, you are ruler, you have authority, you have sovereignty, you, everywhere that you are Lord, you have power, you have dominion. But you know what? This world is fallen. And not everybody worships this king. So this rule is not only the sphere of God, but it's where God is confessed as Lord. It's where he's bowed down to. And you know where that begins? It begins in your heart. It begins in your heart. There's a great passage in Luke chapter, I think it's 11 in my notes. Is that the one? Luke 11. I'm going out of... skipping a little bit right now, but we'll get back to that point. It's Luke 11, chapter 20, verse 21. Let's just turn there right now. Luke chapter 11. Well, we're right there, weren't we? I told you to let go of that. All right, 21. Okay, that's not the one. Sorry. Jesus said about the kingdom of God, listen, the kingdom of God doesn't come with signs, doesn't come with wonders. Many are going to ask him when the kingdom of God has come. Look, there's the kingdom, there's the kingdom. They're not going to say there's the kingdom, here's the kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God's in your midst. It's right smack dab in the middle of you. If you're his child, he's brought you into relationship as God and worshiper, and he's brought you into relationship as king and as subject. The great thing about it is as subjects, we're his children. It's in you. The other thing about the kingdom of God is that it's not of this world. It's not of this world. Do you remember in John chapter 18 when Jesus is standing before Pilate and Pilate says, "Are you a king?" And Jesus literally says, "Yeah, I'm king. But my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, do you know what would be happening? My subjects, my people would be fighting. And guess what? You wouldn't have a chance. You wouldn't have a chance of what you're about to do if my kingdom was of this world. The subjects of my kingdom would be fighting. The angels of heaven would be coming. The angels of heaven would take care of this. But my kingdom is not of this world." That's very important. It's very important. Because folks, you listen, we are citizens of the kingdom of God before we are a citizen of anything else in this world. And I tell you this, if this kingdom is not of this world, we don't live like this world. We don't protest like this world. We don't get things done like this world does. Our weapons are not of the flesh. They're not carnal. They're not of this world. They're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And when he talks about these weapons of our warfare, they're weapons of the kingdom of God. And so when he says that, he says, listen, the weapons are the belt of truth and the shoes of peace and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Lord. And oh yeah, it's a shield of faith. That's how we fight. We fight with peace. We fight with truth, the truth of God's word. We fight with the word of God. We fight with the salvation of God. We do it with faith. The sword of the Lord, shield of faith. Kingdom is not of this world. You know, I just get tired of us believers wringing our hands over everything that's happening in this world. Why are you wringing your hands? We have a king. His name is Jesus. He's ruling and he's reigning. He's bringing all things to consummation. He's got a plan. And we're a part of that plan. We're a part of that program. Quit wringing our hands. We win. And we waste our time and we waste our breath. and we waste our worry, and we waste our anxieties, we waste all this time, and before you know it, we're just a bundle of, we're a mess because of something that's going on over here or over there. And you know what? The kingdom of God's in you. It's in you. I remember that. Next time I get on Facebook. My word. Sometimes I think, Chicken Little, sky is falling. Well, guess what? One day the sky is going to fall. But we will be victorious. This is about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of men. Listen, the kingdoms of men, they come and they go. Do they not come? 21 kingdoms in history, they've come and they've gone. Great kingdoms. But our king still stands on the throne. He still sits on the throne. In man's kinds of kingdom, you can read it in Daniel chapter 4. You know what he says? Listen, I'm the God who raises up people to power. And guess what? I'll raise up even the basest of men to power. Read that and talk about God's sovereign work. I'll raise up the basest of men. Why are we so surprised when base people are in charge of governments? Don't need to be surprised about that. It's a part. Kingdom's not of this world. And that's why I can rest today. That's why I don't have to worry about the next thing. Because I'm going to tell you, there will be a next thing. There'll be the next thing and the next ruler and the next president and the next this and the next governor and the next senator and the next Congress and the next senator. And I'll tell you what, folks, this is not our world. We're just passing through. And when I get that kind of perspective, when I look at that perspective, guess it changes everything. Does that mean that I don't vote? Of course I vote. Does that not mean that I'm a part of things in our society? Of course. Does that not mean I'm grateful for the freedom that we share this morning? Of course I am. I celebrate it. I'm grateful for it. But we don't fight like the rest of the world fights. I tell you what, we can get exhausted doing those things. His kingdom, it's right here in our midst. It's right in you because why? He's the king that's ruling in you. He's ruling in our hearts. He's ruling in the church of the living God. He's ruling in his kingdom. And I want to know that. And you know what else about all this? When Jesus said, yes, I'm king, you know what that means? It means that you're not king. Man, you are not the king of your castle. God is. God rules. God reigns. That's why it'll affect your marriage. That's why it will affect your family. That's why it will show you great and mighty things about how the kingdom of God works in our lives. He is king. And you know what? He's a good king. He is a great king. You know what that means? When he's king, it means that king owes everything. Do you know that? In a kingdom, you don't own anything. The only thing that you have in a kingdom is because the king was nice enough to give it to you. Very important. Very, very important. The kingdom of God. You're not king, God is. There's a story in Daniel chapter 4. Go and turn there if you would. Daniel chapter 4 about Nebuchadnezzar. That is, and he just thought that everything that he had was because of what he did, of his great gifts, of his great talents. Daniel chapter 4, verse 29. You know, there's been a vision, and this vision has been interpreted by Daniel. He has told King, listen, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't repent. And then he tells him this vision, and I don't even have time to look at the whole story, but if you would, if for some homework, look at verses 19 to 27, you'll see the context of it. And all this, and verse 28 says, all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? While the word was in the king's king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You'll be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it, watch, on whomever he wishes. Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind, began eating grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him forever. For his dominion, watch, is everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? You're not king. You think you're king. That's the problem with our, that's the problem in a fallen world. We come into this world thinking we're kings. Now, you know, let me say this for a moment. And I just want to just suggest something to you. When God created man, he created man to rule. Did you remember that? He created man to rule, to reign over creation. That's in your DNA. That's in my DNA. It's still there. But when fallenness came and when sin entered the world, that rule became perverted. And we exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and we worshiped the creature instead of the creator. And we said, we will rule. No, God rules. God rules. When we say, thy kingdom come, we're saying, God, this is your kingdom. It is your kingdom, Lord, and you rule and you reign. And God, not only that, but we say, we are your loyal subjects. You delivered us and you placed us in this kingdom. That's what we say. We say, we are your loyal subjects. We're not king. Everything that we have is because of you. We want to steward it well. Because it's yours. You own it. It's yours, not ours. I want to ask the question, are you saying that today? He is king. You are king of this world. You're king of my life. How do we get to the place where we say that? Well, first of all, we say it through our conversion. Go to John chapter 3, if you would. John chapter 3. And notice what conversion happens, how conversion happens. Chapter 3, while you're turning, I'm going to go in and start reading, okay? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and says, and truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered and said, no, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's physical birth, okay? It's physical birth. Born of water, right? When you came out, the what broke? The water broke. So, water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He says, Linda, you've got to be born from above. You've got to be born again. There's a spiritual reformation that comes by which God births you into the kingdom of God, where you become a child of God, where you become a worshiper, where you become a part of the kingdom of God. And unless you're born again, unless you have this conversion experience, you cannot see the kingdom of God and you can't enter into the kingdom of God. It's like a veil is over your eyes and you can't see kingdom. You can't see what the kingdom's all about. You can't see what the keys of the kingdom are. You can't see what the principles of the kingdom of God are. And you can't by any means enter into the kingdom of God. It happens through your conversion. When you were converted, when you gave your life to Christ, when you believed on Him, you repented of your sin, you turned to Him, you were converted. You were born from above. You were born again by the Word of God. You were born again by Father God, by our Father God. And you became His child. You became His worshiper. You became the subject of the King. It's the only way that it happens. And by the way, that's how you advance the kingdom. We advance the kingdom one soul at a time. That's why we go. That's why we send. That's why we tell. That's why we live. That's why we worship, to expand the kingdom of God. And really, that's what we say. We're your loyal subjects. And that happened because you caused us to be born again. And you caused us to be born again to the living hope. And what we'll say, Lord, we'll say, you're our King. You rule and reign. We are your subjects. We are not king. You are a king. And we will advance your kingdom. We will advance your program. Now, how do we do that? Through submission. Through submission. He is Lord. You advance the kingdom because you're converted. You advance the kingdom because He is Lord, and I submit my life to Him. What is it that I submit? Well, like we talked a minute ago, the commonwealth of a kingdom, king knows everything. Those who get title, that's still the king's land. It's his land. That's his. That's what makes a king a king. He's got a land. And whatever he chooses to give is by His mercy and by His grace and by His mind. And He might be a good king and He might be a bad king, but our King's good. And everything you have is because of Him. That's what I say. Everything that I have is because of Him. John the Baptist said a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. So everything that I have, what? Belongs to Him. That makes us stewards. We're stewards of all that we've got. What are the things that God has given us? Yeah, He's given some of you land. Some of you have houses that you own. But they're not yours. The King's. They're yours to steward. Money, right? Listen, God's the provider. Yeah, there's some things that you do as a steward that you're faithful to. Please hear what I say in here. There's some things that are the principles that you live by, but He's the one who provides it all, and it belongs to Him. And I would tell you this, some of us have not exchanged ownership yet. We have not said, this house, this home, my life, my time, my talent, my gaze, my eyes, my hands, my feet, the things that I say, the things that my mouth is all about, my heart's all about, it's all yours, God, because you're King. I want to steward all these things that God's given, all the talents that God's given. I want to steward it well. And He'll talk about that. He'll talk about these kinds of things. The kingdom of God's like a man who goes on a journey, and he gives talents to his folks, and he gives 1 10 talents, and 1 5 talent, and 1 1 talent. And the 10 guy who gets 10 goes and he makes 10 more, and the one who gets 5 makes 5 more. But that one steward takes that one and he buries it because he's afraid. And the king comes back. And you know what he calls the one that didn't use the talent? Because that belonged to God. He called him a wicked and lazy servant. Because he didn't steward it well. This kingdom is advanced through me submitting to Him. The second way, I think, when I submit to Him, I'm saying, God, everything is yours. You own it. You own it all. It's yours. And then what happens is I realize, since this kingdom is not of this world and it's something different, I realize that God's called me to something different. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 17, I think. Is it on the screen? Is it 17:14? Is that right? Can you get there? 14:17. A little dyslexic this morning, sorry. Whoa. The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but watch this, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom is about. It's not about all the physical stuff that's going around. It's not about don't eat this or don't eat that. Or don't drink this, or don't drink this. This is about righteousness. And what is righteousness? It's all that's right. It's God's character in our lives. It's God's character in the kingdom. What is peace? Peace is It's a tranquil life. It's a state of heart, a state of mind that says, I'm right with my God. Peace. It comes to us. It comes to marriages. It comes to families. It comes to us. The peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. And you know, when I advance the kingdom, I broker righteousness. I broker the righteousness of God. I broker the peace of God. I broker the joy of the Holy Spirit. Listen, my life, that's what my life is. My life is that in the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, is that your life, righteousness? Or do you find yourself just making the same old stupid mistakes over and over and over? Listen, the kingdom of God is righteousness. That's the kingdom he's given. That's the kingdom that's in you. It's what makes us right before God, but it also has to do with behavior. It has to do with our ethic. It's how we walk. Do I promote this righteousness in my life? Do I promote the peace of God in my marriage, in my children, with others, the people that I work with, that I broker the joy of God, the joy of the Holy Spirit? This is what the kingdom is. And when I submit to his lordship, this is what comes out of my life. This is how God moves. This is how God reigns in our lives. And so what do? I seek him first. I seek his kingdom. I seek his righteousness. And I advance the kingdom. I advance it through my commission. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of the gospel, and we proclaim it through word and deed. And we end up brokering these things that are fruit of the Spirit. But I think there's a final way that we advance the kingdom. We advance it through submission, through seeking him first, through our commission, and how we live this life and how we broker these things. But we advance the kingdom through our continual confession. Matthew chapter 16 is a great passage of scripture. It's where Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Or who do people say that I am? I say, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, John the Baptist, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, he says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That's what he confesses. And you know what Jesus says? And he says, Simon, son of John, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father revealed it to you. My Father revealed it to you. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And watch this. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you loose will be loose, and whatever you bind will be bound. I'm going to tell you this. That doesn't mean that when we get to heaven, Peter's going to have keys to the gates of heaven and say, okay, you can get in. You're not talking about physical keys to get into the gates. He's talking about the principles and laws of the kingdom. And their principles and their laws. You know what? And we could talk about a bunch of forgiveness as a law of the kingdom. Forgive and what? You'll be forgiven, right? Do you know that your giving is a law of the kingdom? It's the kingdom. You give, and what happens? You get back. You receive. That's a law. You reap what you sow is a kingdom law. And when God convicts us to give, we give. And that's just a law of the kingdom. That's the key of the kingdom. It's the key to provision. It's a key to living life. Not having to worry about a whole lot of stuff. It's a great key of the kingdom. I get the forgiveness. What about the value of the kingdom when I think about the pearl of great price? The value of the kingdom is this kingdom is so great that I'm willing to sell everything to buy that pearl. Or I find a treasure in somebody's field and I decide I'm going to go buy that field. And I'll sell everything that I have to buy that field so I can have that treasure. The value of the kingdom. The kingdom's always moving. And sometimes it starts small. Like a mustard seed. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of the seed. But then when it's finished growing, it's the biggest plant in the garden. There's kingdom principles. Kingdom principles. Where I am sowing the seeds of the kingdom. And I'm seeing God return on that investment. That return on that sowing. Folks, listen to me. When I say, thy kingdom come, I'm saying, oh God, you're king. I'm your subject, and this is how I'll live. I'll live according to your ways, not my ways. Because you know what? Most of us in here knows what it's like to live at least a season doing our own thing. Did that work for you? Did that work for you over there? What about way over there? What about right here? Did that work? No. You lived according to your keys or some self-help stuff. Listen, the keys of the kingdom are here. They're in you. So, how does this look in prayer? When you pray, say, well, I'm saying, our Father, you're in heaven. And man, I start praying. All those things that God has talked about me being a child. Hallowed be your name. You're God. I am worshiper. You know, my friend Jess Little is here. Jess, come on up. Pastor. We partnered together with Honey. Went to Honey with. I asked him to do so. I knew he was going to be here this week. Where's the... There it is. I've asked him not to preach because I've already preached. He's a preacher. He's going to model for you right now, praying thy kingdom come. So I want us to bow in prayer, and he's going to pray that.
As I pray, I want you to notice something just kind of preface. One of the things that I like, is that better? One of the things that I do and that I encourage our people to do is to pray the scriptures. And so just kind of let your ear, if you would, catch some of the passages that Mike has shared with us this morning as we pray. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to honor your name today. We bless you. We praise you. God, I want to ask this morning that your kingdom would come in my life as it is in heaven. Father in heaven, everything that happens is according to your will. Everything that happens is totally and completely a result of who you are and what you do. And God, I want that kind of rule to take place in my life today. God, thank you that you're king, and therefore that releases me from the pressure of having to be in charge. All I have to do now is just submit to your rulership, submit to your lordship. And Father, you provide for me. God, thank you that when I seek first your kingdom and your rule, that everything else is added to me. God, thank you that you're sovereign. Thank you that you're in control. God, would you protect me from heavenly treasonry where I rebel against you and I try to take charge and I try to take control of what's going on in my life. And I thank you that because you are in control and it is your kingdom, that what happens by your sovereignty, and it's not depending upon me to do anything other than just submit and yield. Father, thank you that you're the Most High. You're praised and honored. You live forever. Thank you that your dominion is an everlasting dominion, and that your kingdom is from generation to generation, and that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Thank you, God, that you do everything according to your will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And thank you that no one can restrain your hand or say to you, "What have you done?" Thank you, Father, that your kingdom is not about eating or drinking, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God, would your kingdom and your rule come in my life today? And one, my utmost concern be honoring you and not the applause and the approval of man. Father, rule in my life. And what I exemplify to my children, to my wife, to my community, and the church that I'm a part of, what I exemplify what it means to live in servitude of you. God, you rule, you reign. And I ask this in the great and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jess. And Lord, we thank you for this offering. And we ask, Lord, that you bless gift and giver today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to tell you a couple of things while the offering...